Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, September 14th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
President Biden issues another warning on climate change.
California voters head to the polls to select a governor.
Boston prepares to pick its top two candidates for mayor.
Plus, the founder of Litecoin speaks out on yesterday's fake report.
And Hurricane Nicholas brings torrential rainfall and flooding concerns to the Gulf of Mexico just days after the wreckage of Hurricane Ida.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. A walk-off win for the Yankees, a shutout loss for the Mets, and in Monday Night Football, the Raiders beat the Ravens in overtime.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by SEI. Challenges highlight one's character, partnership, and resilience. At SEI, they act as one community with their clients. Go to seic.com/banks.
And U.S. futures are higher on this Tuesday morning. It is 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up 7 points. Dow futures up 60. NASDAQ futures up 5. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. The 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 1.33%. And the yield on the 2-year, 0.21%. Nathan.
Well, Karen, we'll have more on the markets in a minute, of course. First, we want to start on the West Coast. That is where President Biden toured damage from this summer's wildfires, and he warned that climate change is supercharging natural disasters across the country.
Extreme weather in the United States cost the United States of America a total of $99 billion. And this year, unfortunately, we're going to break that record. It's a devastating loss to our economy and for so many communities.
The president also used his West Coast trip to throw his support behind Gavin Newsom. The California governor faces a recall election today that pits him against Republican Larry Elder.
The decision you're about to make, isn't this going to have a huge impact on California? It's going to reverberate around the nation and, quite frankly, not a joke, around the world.
Now, voters head to the polls today to make that crucial vote in the Golden State. Ed Baxter has more from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
The big guns, including President Biden and former President Obama and Arnold Schwarzenegger, have had their say, and the candidates theirs as well. Larry Elder.
One of the first things I'm going to do is repeal the requirement for state workers that they have to be tested once a week and they have to wear masks at work.
And Governor Gavin Newsom saying Elder wants to take the state backward in a number of different areas.
He actually wants to double and increase more offshore oil drilling, more fracking. He lives in a completely different world.
Newsom is leading by a good margin in the latest polling, but knowing whether those people have or will vote is the key. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Ed. Well, voters also head to the polls in Boston today in a primary election for the next mayor. The outcome is likely to be historic in a city that has always been led by white men. David Palaiologos is a pollster at Suffolk University.
It's pretty much fixed at Michelle Wu alone, top tier, and the other three candidates, Anissa Sabi George, Andrea Kimball, and acting mayor Kim Janey, all bunched up in that second tier. You have to believe that two of the four finalists will be women and women of color, you know, and it's going to be a huge story.
And David Palaiologos says Michelle Wu is currently leading the pack. Today's primary election will result in two finalists selected to face off in November. Our Boston listeners can catch live coverage of the vote tonight starting at 8 p.m. on Bloomberg 1061.
Well, let's turn to national politics now, Karen. House Democrats are looking to undo the cap on state and local tax deductions that were enacted under former President Donald Trump. So far, though, they've announced no concrete plans. Republican Congressman French Hill of Arkansas says that's because they're divided on the issue.
What the Democrats are doing is splitting their own votes on this tax proposal. New York, New Jersey, California, they want that cap lifted. The rest of the states are somewhere in the middle on it. They don't feel as strongly.
Congressman French Hill spoke with our Washington correspondent Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the show weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio.
Turning to business news now, the labor shortage appears to be getting worse for companies all across the globe. That's the finding of a new survey covering 45,000 employers from 43 countries. Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with the details. Renita, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. The survey by Manpower Group shows 69% of employers having difficulty filling roles. That's a 15-year high. And at the same time, 15 countries focused in Europe and North America report their strongest hiring intentions since the survey began in 1962. Meantime, about 40% say they offer training and skills development to attract and retain talent. A similar share offers flexible work schedules, and nearly a third are increasing wages. Others are offering signing bonuses and more vacation time. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. We're learning more about yesterday's bogus announcement that Walmart will start accepting cryptocurrency. Litecoin surged more than 30% after the Litecoin Foundation mistakenly retweeted the fake report. We discussed the mishap with Charlie Lee, the creator of Litecoin and managing director of the foundation.
With Litecoin, a decentralized cryptocurrency, anyone can really start supporting it and accepting it without talking to me or without going through the Litecoin Foundation. So what happened was this news got released by Global Newswire and Reuters, and one of our social media guys saw it and thought it was true.
And since he thought it was true, that employee retweeted the news. Going forward, Litecoin creator Charlie Lee says the company will work harder to stop phony news from spreading.
Coming up today on Wall Street, it's all about inflation data. We get the August reading for consumer prices, and economists expect a gain around 0.4%. Here with more is Bloomberg's Vinnie Dalgiudice.
In July, the CPI rose 0.5%, the smallest increase since February. Supply shortages coming out of the pandemic have been an issue, but Bloomberg Economics says it looks like the bulk of the recent run-up has passed. The impact of hurricane damage and continued chip shortages bear watching. Year-over-year, U.S. inflation will probably run at 5% or higher. Vinny Dalgiudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. S&P futures are higher by 6 points. Dow futures up 55. NASDAQ futures up 4 points. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. That brings us to 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's take a look now at what's going on in New York and around the world. Hurricane Nicholas has made landfall in Texas. It's threatening to unleash flooding along the Gulf Coast. The area is still recovering from Hurricane Ida just 2 weeks ago. This man is weathering the storm in Galveston, Texas.
The weather's kind of rough. I wouldn't advise anybody to get out in it. There, a couple of them, the roofs are coming off. There's a lot of debris flying around.
Hurricane Nicholas was upgraded from a tropical storm just hours before it made landfall. It is the eighth tropical cyclone to hit the U.S. this year. Meantime, parts of New Jersey saw heavy rain and winds overnight. That led to damage in some isolated areas. Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn has more. Rob?
Nathan, we have a stalled frontal system this morning that lies just south of the tri-state area. That's why the showers and thunderstorms rolled through the region overnight, and some of them were severe in New Jersey. I've seen several reports of wind gusts to 60, 65, and even 65 to 70 miles an hour. That's why we're hearing reports of downed trees, downed power lines in New Jersey, and there's still a cluster of storms to come through. We'll be keeping an eye on those this morning. They should be out of here by about 9 o'clock. Nathan?
All right. Thank you, Rob. We'll keep you updated, of course, on those upcoming storms as they develop throughout the morning. Yesterday was a milestone for New York City. For the first time since the start of the pandemic, the city's public school students returned to classes in person. Mayor Bill de Blasio says the city has implemented a, quote, gold standard of health and safety measures.
First day of school, also first day that the key to NYC will be implemented fully and enforced at indoor dining, entertainment, fitness.
Now, the key to NYC pass requires that patrons prove they've received at least one dose of COVID vaccine to enter local establishments. In another sign of a return to normal, de Blasio attended last night's star-studded Met Gala.
This is a really important day in our comeback, and I wanted to celebrate it.
Now, Mayor de Blasio was one of several notable names at the event. New York Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was there as well, wearing a white dress with bright red letters reading, quote, "Tax the rich," end quote. Ocasio-Cortez attended with fellow Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney. She wore a dress with the words, "Equal Rights for Women."
How do we show up as two working class women of color at the Met Gala? And we said, if we're going to do it, then we have to send a message.
The Met Gala is a $35,000 event. It had been canceled last year due to the pandemic. It is now 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for a check of Bloomberg Sports. Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
Thanks, Nathan. Didn't seem like a big game for the Yankees. Monday afternoon makeup with the Twins. Hardly any fans in the stadium, but it was a big game. They all are now for the Yankees. They fight to make the playoffs. The Twins, with two-run homers in the first inning, solo shot in the third, led 5-0, but didn't score again. Aaron Judge tied the game. Three-run homer, eighth inning. Gary Sanchez won it 6-5, an RBI hit in the 10th. Red Sox lost in Seattle. Toronto beat Tampa Bay. Red Hot Blue Jays, winners of 14 of the last 15, have gone from fourth place to second. They have the lead for the first wild card, and the Yankees and Red Sox are in a virtual tie for the second spot. Yanks have Garrett Cole on the mound tonight in Baltimore. Mets bats were quiet against 40-year-old Adam Wainwright. St. Louis won 7-0. The Mets fall back under 500. Wild Monday nighter in the first game with fans in Las Vegas. Three times in the fourth quarter, the Raiders tied things up with Baltimore, and then they celebrated an apparent game-winning touchdown in overtime, but replay put it at the one-yard line, and Derek Carr was intercepted. Then Lamar Jackson fumbled, and the Raiders cashed in.
Throw is to his left.
And Zay Jones. Here they come.
And here they come. Blitz is picked up. Jones is open. Jackpot, baby. Vegas touchdown. This time, no doubt. Put it in the W column, baby. This one's over.
That is Brent Musburger. Raiders Radio Vegas won 33-27. The Jets have lost a key player. Left tackle Mekhi Becton dislocated kneecap out 4 to 6 weeks. When the Giants visit Washington Thursday, Tyler Heinicke will be the Washington quarterback. Ryan Fitzpatrick has an injured hip. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thank you, John. S&P futures now up 6 points. Dow futures up 62. NASDAQ futures higher by 6 points. 10-year Treasury is down 3/32. The yield 1.33%. And the yield on the 2-year right now 0.21%. Stay with us. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak is brought to you by New York Community Bank. Ask about their My Community Interest Checking with free New York Community Bank online and mobile banking. Earn more, get more. Visit them anytime at mynycb.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are higher this morning ahead of inflation data that could influence expectations about the Federal Reserve's likely timing for paring stimulus. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 8 points. Dow futures up 69. NASDAQ futures up about 8. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 4/32. Yield 1.33%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.21%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.7% or 51 cents at $70.96 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.25% or $4.50 at $17.89.90 an ounce. The euro 1.1822 against the dollar. British pound 1.3869 and the yen's at 110.04. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Renita Young with what's going on around the world. Renita, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. President Biden is warning that climate change is supercharging natural disasters across the country. The president toured damage on the West Coast from recent wildfires. He also hit the campaign trail for California Governor Gavin Newsom, who faces a recall election today against several Republicans, including Larry Elder. Hurricane Nicholas has made landfall in Texas, bringing torrential rainfall that threatens to unleash flooding in Houston and parts of Louisiana. Nicholas was upgraded from a tropical storm just hours before making landfall. With winds around 75 miles per hour, it's the 8th tropical cyclone to hit the U.S. this year. And in sports last night, the Raiders beat the Ravens in overtime on Monday Night Football. In baseball, the Yankees beat the Twins. The Mets lost to St. Louis. The Nationals fell to the Marlins. The Giants beat the Padres. And the Red Sox lost to Seattle. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Renita Young, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, Renita, thank you. It is 5:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager. And as Renita mentioned, voters in California head to the polls to decide whether to keep their governor today. If those polls, opinion polls ahead of the actual vote, are to be trusted, what was touch and go for Governor Gavin Newsom now looks very likely to go his way. For a preview of what to expect and its potential importance, let's hear from an expert in California politics, Jack Pitney, Claremont McKenna College Professor of American Politics. He discussed today's vote with Bloomberg's David Westin.
Professor, thanks so much for being with us. We were reporting until not too far long ago that things were too close to call. Now it looks like he may be pulling ahead in the polls, Gavin Newsom. What happened?
One thing that happened was Larry Elder. He decided to run in the replacement ballot, which is a separate line on the ballot that California has. And his record of incendiary statements, for example, he said that slave owners should have gotten reparations, really energized the Democrats far more than the Republicans. There was some concern that there might be a problem with Democratic turnout. But Larry Elder was exactly the opponent that Gavin Newsom wanted. He was able to use Elder as an example of the Trump-loving extremists who'd run California if he were recalled. That motivated the Democrats, and they're turning out in large numbers. Not just the polls, but the ballot returns are heavily Democratic. So it would be a very historic upset if Gavin Newsom were recalled tomorrow night. The other thing, of course, California's overwhelmingly Democratic, 2-1 in party registration. And thanks to Elder, the Democrats came home.
Assuming for the moment, it is an assumption. I mean, I've learned never to trust polls fully because you can get them wrong. But assuming it comes out this way, does it tell Democrats elsewhere around the country that you're better off if you have Donald Trump on the ballot, at least if not physically, literally on the ballot, at least virtually on the ballot?
Well, in some cases, particularly a blue state like California, absolutely. He continues to motivate Democrats. A large part of Newsom's advertising posed the election as a choice between Newsom and the Trump Republicans. Now, if it had been a choice on a referendum, so to speak, on Newsom stewardship, it would have been a different story. But as Don Draper used to say on Mad Men, if you don't like what's being said, change the conversation. Gavin Newsom changed the conversation from his stewardship to a choice between him and a Trump Republican Party, and that motivates Democrats. Is that going to work in every state? Maybe not, but certainly in a state with lots and lots of Democrats that need a motive to go to the polls.
One question we always have on these, when do you think we'll know the answer? When will we know how it came out? And a very close follow-on to that is, what are the chances we're going to have some form of reprise of 2020 with people claiming voter fraud? Because I've seen some allegations being thrown around already.
Well, if it's close, it could be several days, but the polls indicate it's not going to be close. And if the polls and the ballot returns are anywhere close to a sign of what's going to happen, we should know fairly early. And as for a challenge, Larry Elder has already said that he's looking for mischief in the polls. President Trump said that the election is already rigged. And so expect Republicans to talk about that. But if Newsom's margin of victory, the no side on the recall, is as large as the polls indicate, they're really not going to be able to convince a lot of people. The fraud narrative really only works if it's a fairly close election. That said, the hardcore Elder supporters will cry fraud no matter what. But I think for the vast majority of Californians, a decisive Newsom victory will settle the matter.
And finally, Professor, explain a bit of California politics to us, because the rest of the country really marvels sometimes at how much you go to the voters, certainly with recalls. I mean, I think every governor since I don't know when there's been some attempt to recall. But then you also have all these propositions. You decide an awful lot of your governance directly by direct democracy. What's going on in California?
Well, this has been part of our system for almost a century, and the California voters like it that way. It produces a lot of schizophrenia, so to speak, in the election results. On the one hand, in 2020, Joe Biden won the state heavily. On the other hand, if you look at the ballot propositions, there was actually a streak of conservatism. California voters rejected affirmative action. They rejected a move to change Proposition 13. And they rejected a move to end cash bail.
It's fascinating. Well, we were watching. That's Jack Pitney. He's Claremont McKenna College Professor of American politics.
And that's David Westin speaking with Professor Pitney on Bloomberg's Balance of Power. You can catch the show weekdays at noon on Bloomberg Radio and Television. Coming up today, David is joined by Jason Furman, former chairman of the Council of Economic Advisors and current professor at the Harvard Kennedy School. S&P futures are up 6 points right now. Dow futures up 58. NASDAQ futures up 1 point. 10-year Treasury down 430 seconds. Now the yield is 1.33%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Any showers or storms will end this morning. It'll turn partly sunny today with a high in the upper 70s. Mix of sun and clouds tomorrow. Warmer, more humid, highs in the upper 80s. Currently 70 degrees in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Beginning on the West Coast, President Biden touring damage from this summer's wildfires and warned that climate change is causing more natural disasters.
We can't ignore the reality that these wildfires are being supercharged by climate change.
The president also used his West Coast trip to throw his support behind Gavin Newsom. The California governor faces a recall election today that pits him against several Republicans, including Larry Elder.
Gavin Newsom has had the courage to lead, stand up for science, for the very thing he's been one of the leading governors in the nation, protecting people and vaccinating his state.
The surveys show Governor Newsom well-positioned to keep his job. Democrats are watching whether his campaign themes prove successful and can be replicated in the midterms.
Voters also head to the polls in Boston today in a primary election for the next mayor. Surveys show City Councilor Michelle Wu with a strong lead. We spoke with her colleague, City Councilor Michael Flaherty.
Michelle Wu is the clear frontrunner based on the fact that she's been a citywide city council the longest and has been on ballot citywide the most, and the race is for second.
Today's primary election results in two finalists to face off in November. Our Boston listeners can catch live coverage of the vote tonight starting at 8 p.m. on Bloomberg 1061.
Now let's turn to business news now, Karen. The labor shortage appears to be getting worse for companies all across the globe. That's the finding of a new survey that covers 45,000 employers in 43 countries. Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with the details. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. The survey by Manpower Group shows 69% of employers having difficulty filling roles at a 15-year high. And at the same time, 15 countries focused in Europe and North America report their strongest hiring intentions since the survey began in 1962. Meantime, about 40% offer training and skills development to attract and retain talent. A similar share offers flexible work schedules, and nearly a third are increasing wages. Others are offering signing bonuses and more vacation time. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. S&P futures higher, up 6 points. Dow futures up 53. NASDAQ futures up 2. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 1.33%, and the yield on the 2-year, 0.21%. And NYMEX crude oil is up 0.7% or 50 cents at $70.97 a barrel. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
It's 5:33 on Wall Street. Now let's take a look at what else is going on in New York and around the world. Hurricane Nicholas has made landfall in Texas, bringing torrential rainfall that threatens to unleash flooding in parts of the Gulf Coast. Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards says the area is still recovering from Hurricane Ida 2 weeks ago.
One of the things that could exacerbate the threat of flooding are all the ditches and catch basins and storm drains and so forth. All these drainage systems that have debris from previous storms that hasn't yet been cleaned up.
The storm could bring as much as 18 inches of rain to some areas. Houston Mayor Sylvester Turner says the city's expected to see heavy flooding.
What I can assure people in this city is that we are as ready for this storm as we could be for any storm.
Nicholas was upgraded from a tropical storm just hours before landfall. It is back at tropical storm strength now with winds around 70 miles an hour. It is the eighth tropical cyclone to hit the U.S. this year. Yesterday was a milestone for New York City. For the first time since the start of the pandemic, all of the city's public school students returned to class in person. Mayor Bill de Blasio says the city has implemented a, quote, gold standard of health and safety measures.
What an amazing day this is. This is recovery day. This is the day we have been waiting for. You're going to remember in the history of this city, this day, September 13th, 2021, a day that was a game changer, a difference maker.
Well, now comes the hard part, keeping the city's infection rate low. Since the start of the school year, about 1,700 schools in 38 states have closed due to COVID. That's according to the Burbio tracker, which follows school shutdowns. In Washington, the House Judiciary Committee has approved legislation that would provide legal status to as many as 8 million undocumented immigrants. Democrats plan to include the measure in their massive tax and spending plan. The proposal would modify provisions in the green card process, make more visas available, and provide a pathway to legal residency for undocumented immigrants who were brought to the U.S. as children. It's now 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stanshower.
Thanks, Nathan. The Yankees haven't been winning very often lately, but when they do, it seems Aaron Judge always plays a big role. Eighth inning, two on. Yankees down by three.
Now here is the 2-1. Swung on, hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone to tie the game. It's a Judgian blast. He hits a three-run home run over the auxiliary scoreboard in right center, and we are all tied at five.
WFA in the call. Yanks, who trailed Minnesota 5-0, went on to win 6-5 on a Gary Sanchez hit in the 10th inning. They're in Baltimore tonight. They should not be losing to the hapless Orioles, yet they did twice recently. Garrett Cole, back from that hamstring injury, will start tonight. In the wild card chase, Toronto now leading the way. Jays beat Tampa Bay 8-1. Vlad Guerrero, his 45th home run. Toronto, 52 runs in the last four games. Red Sox lost in Seattle. Yanks and Sox in a virtual tie for the second wild card. Mets had only six hits, lost to St. Louis 7-0. Monday Night Football in Las Vegas. The Raiders got a game-tying 55-yard field goal at the end of regulation. Took their first lead in overtime. Beat the Ravens 33-27, a game where both teams had turnovers. In the overtime, Derek Carr won with a TD pass. He threw for 435 yards. The Jets, who let Zach Wilson get sacked six times, have now lost left tackle Mekhi Becton for 4 to 6 weeks. Washington's lost quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick, so it'll be Tyler Heineke facing the Giants on Thursday. USC fired football coach Clay Helton. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
Thanks, John. We're coming up to 5:37 on Wall Street now. It's time for the Tri-State Business Report. For that, we're joined by Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
A report shows racial inequality in pay in Connecticut beyond the disparities that exist nationwide. According to the 2021 State of Working Connecticut report issued by Connecticut Voices for Children, the typical black worker in the state was paid 68 cents for every dollar other workers made. New York's Metropolitan Transportation Authority plans to extend a $500,000 death benefit to employees who die of COVID-related causes through the end of 2021. But the Times says the benefit will remain unavailable to those who decline to get vaccinated against the coronavirus. Progressive Democratic Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez used the Met Gala to make a political statement by wearing a dress with the words "Tax the Rich" printed on the back. Ocasio-Cortez has supported raising taxes on the rich to help pay for more social services. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Karen Chase, and for W8AS in Louisville, I'll be talking about vaccine stocks reacting to talk of a booster.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WCCO in Minneapolis, I'm reporting that the CEO of 3M sees the computer chip shortage lasting into next year.
I'm Caroline Hepton, Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on employment hitting pre-pandemic levels, but record vacancies as the recovery leaves companies struggling to find enough workers.
I'm Ann Cateson on WBC. In Boston, I'll be reporting on how companies continue to struggle filling jobs.
Live. Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting the University of Michigan and the union representing lecturers have reached a tentative agreement.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It is 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. President Biden took bold new steps to defeat the resurgent pandemic by strengthening the COVID vaccine mandate for federal employees and contractors, pushing big private companies to impose mandates of their own, and announcing a series of other initiatives. Critics of mandates can be expected to push back. They say they should be free to do as they judge best, deciding for themselves whether to take their chances with COVID. But the consequences of their decisions aren't confined to them. The safety of others is compromised. The longer COVID is allowed to circulate, the greater the pandemic's toll will be. Hospitals risk being overwhelmed, forcing them to ration care, including for those sick through no fault of their own. All the while, the virus is left free to mutate. The country needed Biden to take the initiative. Now that he has, all Americans should do their part to conquer this scourge. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you'll be able to hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. And terminal customers can read more at OPIN.go. S&P futures now up 5 points. Dow futures up 39. NASDAQ futures are now little change to higher. The 10-year Treasury is down 2/32. The yield 1.33%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Showers and storms ending this morning. It'll turn partly sunny today with highs in the upper 70s. Mix of sun and clouds. Warmer, more humid tomorrow. High near 90 degrees. Scattered showers and storms near 80 on Thursday.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by SEI. Crises emphasize character and partnership. One mission, one community, SEI. Go to SEIC.com/IMS. And futures, they're a little change now this morning ahead of some inflation data that could influence expectations about the Fed's likely timing for pairing stimulus. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 4 points. Dow futures up 20. NASDAQ futures down 2. The DAX in Germany is up less than 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32. Yield 1.33%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.21%. NYMEX crude oil is higher, up 0.6% or 40 cents at $70.86 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.3% or $5.40 at $17.89 an ounce. The euro, 1.1808 against the dollar. British pound, 1.3861. And the yen's at 110.06. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Renita Young with more on what's going on around the world. Renita.
Karen, President Biden is warning that climate change is supercharging natural disasters across the country. The president toured damage on the West Coast from recent wildfires, and he also hit the campaign trail for California Governor Gavin Newsom, who faces a recall election today against several Republicans, including Larry Elder. Hurricane Nicholas made landfall in Texas, bringing torrential rainfall that threatens to unleash flooding in Texas, pardon me, in Houston and parts of Louisiana. Nicholas was upgraded from a tropical storm just hours before making landfall. With winds around 75 miles per hour, it's the 8th tropical cyclone to hit the U.S. this year. And in sports last night, the Raiders beat the Ravens in overtime on Monday Night Football. In baseball, the Yankees beat the Twins. The Mets lost to St. Louis. The Nationals fell to the Marlins. The Giants beat the Padres. And the Red Sox lost to Seattle. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Renita Young, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan?
Okay, Renita, thank you. It's 5:49 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. We want to get to the latest on the pandemic now. For that, we're joined by Gigi Granvall, professor at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. Professor, good morning. It's good to have you with us. I want to start with the vaccination effort in this country because it is lagging. There rest, pretty much the rest of the developed world, at least the G7, when it comes to vaccinating the population. Of course, President Biden announced vaccine mandates for much of this country last week. Is that going to help?
I think it will help. It certainly can't hurt at this point. We need to get more people vaccinated, and there's this tide that we're swimming against of misinformation that people are, you know, not wanting to get something that's going to probably save their lives and the people around them.
Is there a risk, though, that by mandating the vaccines, it could harden people's positions?
For some people, I think they may not get the vaccine no matter what. But the mandate for federal employees, it's not an option. But for the other people who are contractors and so on, they can do testing every week. It's not just that they must get the vaccine. There is an option to do something else.
If we do have a significant portion of the population that isn't going to get the vaccine, no matter what, as you term it, what does that mean for the pandemic? How much longer are we going to be dealing with this?
Well, I mean, we're going to be dealing with the pandemic no matter what for some time to come, because the global situation is not even where we are in the U.S., which we would like to see, be much better. But you know, it's going to just prolong the agony and the hospitalizations, the stress on our healthcare system. And, you know, people don't want to go out to restaurants if there is a possibility that they're going to come home with COVID.
Speaking of the effort to vaccinate the rest of the world, we've gotten reports on what President Biden plans to announce at the UN General Assembly this week, calling for 70% of the world to be fully vaccinated by this time next year. Is that going to be enough to tamp down the global pandemic?
Well, I mean, one can hope. It certainly will save a lot of people's lives and hopefully will allow us to have better tracking of new variants as they emerge. But, yeah, I mean, we don't know exactly what number it's going to be to get the number of people vaccinated to put this pandemic to bed. But eventually it will end and vaccinations will help get us there.
There's also a study in The Lancet that I'm sure you've seen suggesting the vaccines are holding up so well that most people probably won't need a booster shot. We're expecting that the U.S. is going to come out with a booster plan as soon as next week. Is it going to be necessary, do you think?
Well, it's definitely necessary for people who are very old and people who have conditions that leave them, their immune systems, not as robust as maybe they once were. But you know, for other people, the data is a little bit conflicting, whether or not people over as young as 60 or older should get a booster shot, particularly with the Pfizer vaccine. So we'll have to see what the data continues to say. But I don't think it will hurt. And the risk might be that you might have more side effects with a booster shot.
As always, thank you for your insights, Professor Gigi Granval, with us this morning, professor at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, which is supported by Michael Bloomberg, the founder and majority owner of Bloomberg LP. That is the parent company of Bloomberg Radio. Karen.
Nathan, it is 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report, brought to you by American Arbitration Association. International trade or business dispute? Resolve faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world, ICDR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul announced that women in the state will be able to access medication abortion services via telemedicine. Lawmakers in California okayed funding for major efforts to fight climate change and protect the environment. Money for wildfire prevention is included in the package. A federal magistrate ruled that Kroger's Just Fruit labeling on a blackberry spreadable fruit product is not false or misleading, rejecting a consumer's argument that the product contained non-fruit ingredients.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Thank you, Jeff. Now another legal story we're watching. After a year-long battle with Epic Games, a judge has ordered Apple to make a major change to how it makes money from its app store. The ruling chips away at the company's grip on the market for mobile games. So why is Epic appealing the decision? Well, for more on the ruling, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to Mark Rifkin, a partner at Wolf Haldenstein. So who won this case? Did anyone win this case?
I think it's a tie. I think there are parts of the court's decision that each side can claim as victory. The courts concluded that Apple did not possess sufficient monopoly power in the relevant market that she defined. But certainly Epic can claim an enormous victory in the court's decision to enjoin the anti-steering provisions for IAP in-app purchases. I think that's an important part of Apple's business model. And as it stands now, Apple cannot continue that particular practice, which is a major victory for Epic. So I think that's a big deal. I think it's also a big deal that the court found that Apple's 30% commission was anti-competitive and essentially unjustified.
Some say that that could wipe billions from Apple's profits.
I think that opening IAP so that developers can sell directly to consumers, at least for in-app purchases, risks a substantial revenue stream for Apple. Whether Apple can retain those developers after the court's order becomes effective is a huge question. And the effect on Apple's revenue is something that we're all going to watch over the next, you know, several months and year or so.
How will it work in the future? You'll go into the App Store and you'll get a choice of whether to pay through Apple or whether to pay through the developer?
I think that's exactly right. I think, and it's not on the App Store that this happens. It's within the app. IAP is an in-app purchase. So let's talk about, for example, let's talk about a gaming app. If you're playing a game and you have the option to buy a game token or a game piece or extra lives or whatever it may be, that's a purchase that you make while playing the app, and you can do that from your phone or from your iOS device if you're playing on a tablet, whatever it is. But that payment now, under the court's decision, does not need to be processed through Apple. Apple won't get to collect the revenue and won't get to impose its 30% commission on that fee. You'll be able to pay the developer directly from the app for that in-app purchase. So that's a significant change to the way Apple is processing payments on in-app purchases.
And that's Mark Rifkin, a partner at Wolf Haldenstein, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcasts. Attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal at BLawGo. And futures this morning, again, little change now. S&P futures up 2 points, Dow futures up 4, NASDAQ futures down about 5. The DAX in Germany is up about 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 1.33%, and the yield on the 2 years 0.21%. Still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, we have a check on the business headlines and all the news you need to start your day. And this is Bloomberg.